Consider with me today God's word and promise to us. Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 19. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. In everyday conversation, we sometimes use the word perfect rather loosely to talk about things that really aren't perfect. Good, maybe very good, but not flawless. Have we seen anything that is truly perfect? The inspired word of God might be a good example of that. Would be a good example of that. But get away from what the Lord does, and we face the imperfect. Our past is filled with it. So is our present. But our future, as far as what God wants for you, our future, once we grab hold of God's promises, will involve God's perfect gift to us. From the verses of Isaiah 65 and other texts like it comes into view that life to come, which is truly perfect, for two reasons. Nothing negative, a great positive. A life free from the curse of sin, but also one filled with unending happiness. Now that perfect life of heaven is only for those who have the recognition, the record of having lived a perfect life on earth. Something we have clearly not done. But thankfully, we have Jesus stepping into our place, taking all of our sins on Himself, living the perfect life for us, and making that count in God's sight so that He sees Christ as your perfect record. When God gives you the faith to trust that, then you look forward to heaven. Not as a possibility, but as God's promise to you based on Christ. It's going to be a brand new life in a brand new place where everything is right, good, and safe. The devil won't touch us in heaven. He won't be there. Disease of any kind, from terminal cancers to the common cold, won't be there. No arguments, fighting, conflict. No lies or harsh words. No depression of either mind or the economy. No poverty. No need for anything. No lack of anything good. Not even the remembrance of the bad things that used to be, our text tells us. Can you imagine that kind of life? It's more than a dream or a wish. It's the final stage in the plan, God giving you this perfect life. Revelation comes to mind, Revelation 21. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. We have to admit something about our concept of heaven. To our earthly way of thinking, we can't wrap our minds around the concept of perfection. It's beyond us. We don't live with that. It's not part of our experience. But we can relate to happiness, the sense of it, and the desire for it in the future life of heaven. Everyone there will be happy. Of course, we're talking about a perfect happiness, the kind of joy that would not fade like our enjoyments do here. The thrill fades. It is impossible for the joy of heaven to somehow become monotonous or unsatisfying. That just can't happen. You have to realize that what we have now and how we think about it is colored by the foolishness and the discontent of human nature. You still have your old Adam. I still have mine. And for that reason, we might fall into this mistaken idea that going to heaven is like finishing in third place, some kind of consolation prize, rather than the grand prize, the ultimate life that we will have as God's gift. When we finally experience that perfect life to come, we won't have the old Adam to ruin it. God will get rid of that sinful flesh. God will give us perfection through and through, both body, soul, heart, and mind, which means that our thinking will be pure. These negative feelings that corrupt us now will be gone, including sinful desires. Both physically and spiritually, we'll have the right stuff, the right equipment to be in that perfect environment. No, I can't show you any pictures. Can't do a PowerPoint presentation. Don't have the color brochure. We can't go find the Heaven Channel on TV. God has not given us visual representations of eternal life. But we do have His promises. 1 John 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Psalm 16 works as well. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So seeing God is something that will happen, and when you stand face to face with God as one of His own, you can also expect perfect happiness. Satisfaction guaranteed. Nothing negative to ruin the experience or make it come to an end. Now, in day-to-day terms, God wants you to think about heaven while you're still on earth. He wants you to set your sights high and make eternal life as your dearest treasure, your ultimate goal. Don't become attached to this world, He says. You have something so much better. And when life here becomes hectic or difficult, stress relief can come in the form of looking ahead to that future life, looking forward to that perfect life in that perfect environment with that perfect God of ours. By the way, you don't have to worry about whether you're going to make it. Your final victory and claiming that final victory do not depend on you. By that I mean God sees to it that we don't throw it away, that we keep hold of this gift of eternal life that we already have. He's done that in the previous work of Christ, which no one can undo, done for you. And He continues to work in your hearts through the Spirit, through the power of the gospel, preserving your faith, and fulfilling this passage, 1 Peter. You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let us depend on God, the one who does make your future and mine so bright with His perfect gift. Amen. We close today singing hymn 613, the first and the fourth stanzas of 613.